series. Thank you very much. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. So we'll leave Matthew chapter 6 and head over to Luke chapter 11, being a different passage, but the same text and material that we've been looking at out of Matthew chapter 6. How to pray, when you pray. This is the fourth lesson on this subject, probably a couple more. But throughout this year, we will continue to emphasize this all-important matter of when ye pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful to be in church tonight. I thank you for this many people that would come out on an evening that's not particularly nice weather and a little damp and so forth. And Lord, I pray that you give safety going home in a little bit. I pray that you'll bless our time in your word. Help me in Jesus' name and amen. So in the passage here where the disciples, I want to take just a couple of minutes to talk about the setting of it. The disciples have observed Jesus in prayer, and this is where we've referred to this passage several times, but this is where they ask him to teach them how to pray. You see it there in verse number 1, Lord, teach us to pray. And so they were with Jesus when he delivered his Sermon on the Mount in Galilee some months previous to this occasion, but here they were again asking the Lord, asking him to teach them how to pray. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 1, the Bible says that Jesus was praying in a certain place, in a certain place. Now, you know that Jesus and his followers were constantly on the move throughout the nation of Israel. So when it says here a certain place, I don't think this means that Jesus was praying in a specific place where he prayed every day. That they were on the move. You remember what the Lord said? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Constantly on the move. So I don't think it's talking about a specific place every day like maybe you and I have, but it was that secret place. It was a place where he could go and escape the distractions, and I'm sure there were plenty. You know, everywhere he went, there were multitudes that followed him. And so he could, the best he could, escape the distractions that would come. Maybe that's why he prayed through the night. Maybe that's why he prayed very early in the morning, to avoid the people contact, all right? And being around when he wanted to be alone with his Father. And in that secret place, Jesus could meet with his Father, who, Matthew 6, is in secret. Matthew 6 sees in secret. Matthew 6 hears in secret and then rewards openly. You know, I had a thought, just a question. If there is no secret prayer, then is there no open reward? Because it was very specific there. Your Father that is in secret and sees in secret and we know hears in secret, then rewards openly. So, folks, I think if we want to see the open favor of God on our lives and answer to prayer, we have to be in that secret place. Again, the place where we can maybe be alone and not distracted by everything else that's going on in this world. So that's what Jesus is doing. Now, after he finished, one of the disciples asked him, this Lord, teach us to pray. Now, listen, they're all Jewish. Okay, they're all Jewish men, and Jewish upbringing included praying. The Jews had all kinds of prayers, and they had heard Jesus teach on prayer, as I said, some months earlier, and yet here they are seeking more, to know more. Lord, teach us how to pray. So my thought was this, could it be that the disciples of Christ fought the same battle that you and I fight when it comes to consistent devotional praying? I don't think any of us have trouble with emergency praying, okay? I think we're pretty good at that. And there's nothing wrong with it. Thank God we can go to him anytime in an emergency, okay? But this devotional prayer time, I mean, they're flesh like we are. Now, Jesus' disciples, they knew that John had taught his disciples, his followers, how to pray. Because look what he said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now, in Luke 5:33, the Pharisees said to John, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? So it was well known, obviously, that the followers of John the Baptist were praying men. Now, one of the followers of John the Baptist was Andrew. It was Andrew and another disciple who heard John the Baptist, they heard him say, point his finger, behold the Lamb of God. And that very day, that's when Andrew started following Christ. So is it possible that Andrew was the one who asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his followers or his disciples? And Jesus responds to that request by giving them the same model prayer that he had given earlier. The words Jesus taught them to say have to do with devotional praying. This is praying, as I said last week, that begins with worship. Praying that begins with worship. Now, I don't know how good a job the lesson was. The lesson got across last Wednesday night. And one brother met me in the foyer out there, and he said, man, we were on holy ground tonight. And truth of the matter is, folks, that's exactly what it is. When you start, when in devotional praying, you and I start out in the worship of God, we're on holy ground. Holy ground. Now, the only review that I want to do tonight is to remind you that the prayer Jesus taught them to pray begins with thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. And don't forget that. Okay? Our prayer is to our Father, who is seated high and lifted up in the throne room of heaven. And our first interest in this devotional praying is not us. Our first interest is Him. And in giving attention to this, you know, you don't have to be scripted. I was talking to a brother here Sunday after the service, either morning or evening, I forget, and just really was talking about the blessing that the prayer booklet has been. And he said, you know, when I first got the prayer booklet, I thought, wow, but this looks kind of scripted, like it's a kind of verbatim thing. But he said, I've been into this, and it's not scripted at all. And you do not have to be scripted as far as saying the exact words that Jesus gave in Matthew 6 and Luke chapter 11. You know, it's possible you start your prayer, my Father in heaven, it's possible to begin with thanksgiving for life and bread. I told you, I'm sorry, if you think that's vain repetition, I know what's coming from. It's coming from right here. I am thankful for life and breath and health. I'm thankful for the mental and physical ability to live and move and have my being. I think you are too. And where does that come from? So it's all about this matter of worship. And, you know, and so you thank Him for that. And then you move on to acknowledging the Father's holy name. Father, your name is holy. And I don't want to do anything today that would bring dishonor to your name. To your name. You know, I don't want to bring dishonor to the angel name. Okay? So if I don't want to bring dishonor to the angel name, I certainly have more concern about not bringing dishonor to His name. All right? And so you just move to that. And then you move to verbalizing interest in His kingdom. Because thy kingdom come. Not only coming to earth someday, but it's okay to say that. I prayed this morning and I prayed what John prayed at Revelation 22. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I preached a whole message on that. Lord, please come. Please do. Please do come. And I know, look, folks, the Lord do a whole lot better than Donald Trump getting this thing straightened out, okay? And if the Lord slept, and He doesn't, but if He did, He'd do better than Joe, okay? Okay? So there's nothing wrong with praying for Jesus to come, all right? Nothing wrong with that. And then, you know, advancing His kingdom through souls saved. You think it'd be good to say, Father, I hope that there's souls saved today. That advances His kingdom. I hope that saints are sanctified today. Sanctify me. Sanctify the saints. Look, express sincere interest in His kingdom instead of being stuck on the kingdom in which you are living. That's what we get, that's what happens to us. We get stuck on the kingdom that we're living in. And His kingdom, Jesus said, is not of this world. It's a different kingdom. Look, His kingdom, have you thought about this? His kingdom is your home. Your citizenship is in heaven. Your conversation is in heaven, all right? Citizenship is in heaven. And you know, it's the land of your spiritual birth. Because according to what we learned on Sunday from Philippians 1:6, God does the work of salvation. So heaven is the home of your spiritual birth. And, you know, you like to know about home, even when you move away. When Joyce and I, when I picked Joyce up down in Mississippi, where Pete and Leah and the baby, and then we took off for Georgia. There, you know, we crossed the line from Alabama into Georgia. And right away, maybe this happens to some of you folks from other places. You just know you're home. Just know it. I said to her, I said, this is home. Feels like home. You go back east, Adam, but it feels like home. You guys go back to Pennsylvania, it feels like home. Well, you know where home is for you and me? Our citizenship is in heaven. So our concern should be about his kingdom, not just the one we live in. Lord, I help me with this, and I need this, and I want this, and help me with this, and this is going on. And that's good. We can go to God with all that. But you know what we're doing? We're doing here, we're talking about worship. I don't know how to worship God. This is worship. This is his kingdom. This is his name. And then you move on to asking for his will to be done. And remember, thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. And so you move toward the part of asking that his will be done in your life on earth today. Lord, fulfill your will in me today. And again, it doesn't have to be scripted. You know what you can do here? That's a great place to call out the names of your family. Because you know what you want, folks? You know what I want for Joyce? More than anything I want for Joyce, I want God's will to be done in her life. And that's where I start praying for all the kids. I pray for the couples. Each one of them has specific things, right? But Lord, may your will be done in their life today. I pray for the grandchildren. Listen, there's nothing more important for our children and grandchildren than them living in the will of God. And I will tell you, it's so easy. I've been talking to the senior appointments. I've been talking to them, look, be careful. It's so easy to go off the rails out of the will of God. So easy. It can happen in a blink of an eye if you're not careful. You go off the rails out of the will of God. And there's nothing more important for our kids, our grandkids, than living in the will of God. And one of the reasons is, folks, is because the will of God encompasses their vocation. It encompasses their to-be spouse if they're not married. If they are married, their spouse, their children. On and on. Living their lives in the will of God is the most important aspect of their earthly life. If they don't realize it, at least you can pray for God's will to be done. So it doesn't have to be scripted. You know, I don't have to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our day. I don't have to be scripted. I can insert things that fit into those categories that are specific to me, specific to my family, loved ones. That makes sense? Okay? And listen. I beg you, you know, the hardest part of this is just getting started. It's getting started. If you're not used to it, it's not part of your comfort zone. And things that are not in our comfort zone are uncomfortable. Okay? And so guess what happens? We struggle. And it's kind of like, but folks, if you just stay at it, the difficult part is starting, getting past the struggles that accompany anything you're not used to doing. If you're not used to, it's not prayer, anything secular. If you're not used to doing it, there's a discomfort until you get into the comfort zone. And so if you're not used to praying and this devotional prayer, and folks, I'm not talking, you say, I don't have the time. I am not talking about an hour here. I'm not talking even about 30 minutes. Sometimes I might pray 30 minutes. Sometimes I go quickly through it. I'm done in maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Devotion. But it's that time given to him. And just get started. Just get started, okay? Now, so that's kind of the review. And let's go to the next matter that the Lord Jesus told us to pray about. And that's in verse number 3. And it's very similar wording to what's in Matthew 6. And you know it. Here it is. Give us day by day our daily bread. In Matthew 6, give us this day our daily bread. Same thing. Now, I will guess that all of us have had enough food to eat for most, if not all, of our lives. Some of us more than we need. There may be some older folks here who came from poorer families where there was not an abundance of food. You go back to my grandmother's generation, especially the one that grew up in the mountains of Tennessee, they were poor. They were poor. All right? They didn't have all the government programs. They were poor. They raised their food to eat. All right? And we were talking this morning at staff meeting, and Brother Mike and Ed Bragg went to visit Wayne and Mary Faye Rayburn last night, and Wayne got to talking about his dad was half Cherokee Indian, and his dad taught them how to catch rabbits by hand, and he said, you, especially this time of year, if you look in the snow, you see the rabbit prints, and then they stop. And the ground has been plowed, and there's snow on top of plowed ground, and there's prints, and then there's no more prints. That's where he is. He said, "You reach your hand under there. You put one hand in, Brother Ed, on his head. One hand in, boom." And I think it was Ben brought up. That's probably how Indians had to subsist, catching their food. Now, you and I are doing a little bit better than that today. Anybody gone out and caught a rabbit today, barehanded? I had some friends that do that catfishing. I forget what that's called. Noodling, yeah. You know, they go down and find the hole in the bank, stick their hand in, come out with a catfish on their hand. Amen, whatever you like, okay? But most of us, my grandmother, he was poor. And I think maybe Chico, you grew up poor. I'll talk to you a little bit about it. You ought to hear his story. It's incredible. How many of those boys slept on one bed? Horizontal. The bed this way. There's like stacked in there like cordwood in one bed. Some people grew up without as much as others. All right? But for most of us, we've grown up with, and by the way, folks, remember, this is not an American prayer. Okay? And not all people of the world live like 98% of Americans do. The prison population in America eats better than most of the world. And I remember being, you know, there are many folks in the world who get their food from day to day. That's how they do it. I remember Madagascar, they can walk down to the market and buy just enough. You know, they don't have refrigeration. So they walk down to the market and they get just enough food for that day. And the next day they go back to the market again, get enough food for that day. They go daily. Okay? Not everyone in Jesus' day on earth was in poverty, because after Matthew started following Christ, do you remember what he did? He threw a feast for all of his friends. So it sounds like Matthew, that wasn't really hurting for food. I'm saying all of this to say, okay, so what is this part of this prayer all about? Would Jesus have us pray something that really isn't relevant to our situation in life? Or is there more to it than just a piece of bread? And I think this part of the prayer is not limited to food. It includes the daily provisions that we need. And all I'm saying, folks, it's a great, if your pantries are full and your cupboards are full, it's still a good place to remember that everything we need in this life comes from His hand. And it's good to remember that. It's good to remember that. We are dependent on His good hand to provide all we need when it comes to temporal things. Every good gift comes from above. All right? It's a good time to, Now, you remember, I'm not going to go through all of Job's stories, but you remember what happened to his possessions in chapter 1. Those possessions went from God's hand into Satan's hand. That's where they went. And everything we need in order to live in this temporal life on earth comes from God's good hand. So it's a good time to remember. To be, again, it's not scripted. It's not give me this day my daily bread. It's not scripted. It's a great time to remember to be thankful for your job. Because God uses your job to help supply your daily bread. So I'm thankful for my job, and I'm thankful that I have work to do. It's a great time for wives to be thankful for the work God has given their husband. My husband, all he wants to do is work, work, work. He loves work. Ladies, number one, that's how God made us. Number two, that's how God provides the bread. It's a great time, if you haven't already done it, to thank God for physical and mental health, for the ability to work and earn a livable wage, and be grateful if you have a wage-earning skill. Be grateful. You know, I've got enough to eat, but no. Give us this day our daily bread is acknowledging that we are dependent on God, and without His help, we would not have what we need to live from day to day. And the day may come where you and I will need to pray that part of this prayer. Do you know, some of you who go online, look at that, you know, that preparation for all that, whatever they call it, I forget what they call it, but there's a certain type of name for it. They estimate, well, let me ask you, when it gets bad weather around here, how quickly does it take for those shelves at Kroger to go empty? Hours, not days, hours. You know who really ought to be soaking this up? The ones not here tonight, or a few teenagers are here tonight. You guys really need to be soaking this up. Because you may be the crowd that really has to pray, God, I need bread for today. I need bread for today. So it doesn't hurt us to get in the habit of at least while we have bread, acknowledging where it came from. You know what that is? You know what that is, folks? That's worship. That's worship. The unsaved, they go through life day after day. You been to a restaurant lately? What percentage of the people bowed their head and prayed? This area, it's not unusual to see somebody in the restaurant pray for their food. Got a lot of Nazarene influence. I don't know about you, I always like to speak to somebody who I've seen pray. Hey, man, I saw you pray for your food. That blessed my heart. But the unsaved, they go day after day, eating, drinking, breathing, walking, talking, working, earning money. They have health, they have wealth, they have food, they have house, they have transportation, clothing, everything they need to live. And never one moment think about from whom and where all that comes. Day in, day out, month after month, year after year, there is never a thought of God acknowledging Him in everything they have. If anybody should, it's us. A child of God ought never forget for one single day that all we have comes from our Father in heaven. If the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that this earth belongs to Him. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 50, I love Psalm 50, verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. That's what God said. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. What a verse. And Psalm 89:11, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. And so these disciples, they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, okay, when you pray, say, and pray after this manner, and pray according to this fashion. And this prayer is part of what Jesus thought was very important for you and me to pray. And if Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples, it makes you wonder if maybe John the Baptist taught his disciples the same thing. So these are matters that they're for all of us. And one of the things he included was that we should never forget that everything comes from our Father's good hand. Psalm 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Now contrast that verse with Psalm 5:3, my voice. Shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord? In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You say, you think the psalmist looked up? Yep, I sure do. I think he raised his eyes toward heaven. And that's some of the ways that people prayed in the Bible. And that's not a bad posture to pray in. If I'm battling sleep and being tired, I will walk and just look up. Just look up. That's what he said he did. Father, I have a job. I have a house. I have a vehicle. I have food, drink. I have money. I have amenities. I have conveniences. But it is all the result of your goodness and generosity. It is not mine. I don't want to forget that. People, look, this is a God-conscious prayer. It is a God-first mentality. Do you realize that even when we are praying, give, we are recognizing Him? Even when we ask, give, we're recognizing Him. And that all we have comes from Him. When I start hearing things, and I know it's early. I know we're only, what is today, 24th? Yeah. We're only 24 days into this. I hope by April it's not forgotten. And that's why you got the booklet, and that's why there's a different prayer emphasis every month to kind of just shift a little bit. Okay, I've been concentrating on this. Now I'm going to concentrate on these things. But I really, 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 really hope that more and more people will just be, and I'm not suggesting or insinuating that nobody here prays. I'm just hoping that we can really zero in on this matter of devotional praying and a time of worship to our Father in heaven. I think it does us good, folks. And if you can find time in the morning, it really sets you up for the day. Sets your course for the day. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please bless the lesson to our hearts tonight. Let's go ahead and stand, folks, and thank you for these folks who've come out on this evening. And Lord, I look around, and we've been here 56 minutes into this service, and some folks drive a couple minutes longer than that to sit in here. So, but we got school tomorrow and the little kids. But Lord, I pray, I really do, I ask you, please, I need help in this area. I'm sure that every person could say the same. So with Andrew or whoever it was, we say tonight, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. God, teach us to pray like you taught your disciples. And we're trying to follow you. And these are the things that you thought were very important for us to talk to our Father about. So God, grant us that grace. May we grow in this grace this year. Help us, I pray. All right, just a brief song of amen. If all you get tonight is just that little bit about praying for the will of God to be done in the lives of your family, your children, if that's all you get tonight, take it home and go after that with the Lord. Seek His will to be done in the lives of your family, your loved ones. Nothing greater you could pray for them, unless they're not saved. And of course, that's God's will too. But you couldn't ask for anything more, better. Fancy house, nice car, better paying job. Nothing is important as the